Very good evening, David Wildy and Malcolm Blight. This is Sports Day SA. Thanks to Keno, you can play from only a dollar a game. There's a draw every few minutes and always time for spotted Keno. Try it if you haven't played. It's a good game. It's cheap to play and good fun. As a welcome, the great man, Malcolm Jack Blight. Blighty, how are you?
David Wildy, the teams are in. We'll do them in a second. And but you golfed today. It was Did you miss the rain? It sort of stopped, didn't it?
It just spat for a little while. In fact, the weather turned out beautifully.
Yeah.
The great... Russell Ebert once said to the late Russell Ebert, now said to me, thank God we don't play golf for a living. We'd be starving.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm in that sort of frame. I'm not even getting any little nibbles at the moment. Really poor. I should be playing better than I am, but I'm not.
My darling wife, Patsy, says, Malcolm, you're really just midweek hackers. And once you understand that and put yourself in the right spot, then you enjoy the game. Yeah, just go and enjoy it.
I remember hitting a couple of wild shots playing with Neil Curley. And he said, don't complain, you hit it there. He's right, isn't he?
Actually, he's good to play with girls. I play with girls a bit.
You hit it there, very straightforward.
No, I missed. Just move on.
Yeah. Billy Brownless, our guest tonight, too.
I can imagine what that's going to be like. He is entertaining, if nothing else, David.
He's carved out a terrific post-football career. You obviously know him playing and coached him, and he's wonderful talent. I've called a lot of his early games, and a wonderful player, but... Outside of that, he's stayed in the entertainment business,
yes,
hasn't he?
Yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm half looking forward.
I don't know who's going to go harder, you or him.
Yeah, well, he tells stories about me. But anyhow, hey, the inns for Adelaide, Jordan Butts is back.
They're good inns.
Yeah, Matt Crouch is back. Yeah. Riley O'Brien. Kieran Strawn is a bit stiff, probably. And Wayne Miller, we've been those four. They're four not bad inns.
I reckon this is the first time all the inns they picked their best players, if you know what I mean. Now, maybe Miller is not playing, but if you look at their names, they're the best ins, aren't they? We've seen all year. Riley O'Brien had 38 possessions last week. Matt Crouch, we know, can play best and fairest All-Australian. And I want to, just to follow that, I want to ask you about whether they're making decisions on some of these players. Now, they dropped Chase Jones, didn't they?
They have, which we mentioned during the week. Josh Rochelli, we know, is managed. Kieran Strawn omitted. Lockie Scholl was the midi sub. And Taylor Walker, we know. Just by the way, the Cats' only one change, I believe, is Patrick Dangerfield.
Yeah.
As we all knew about that.
We're just a little bit worried about it. He's been a bulldozer for quite a while, Paddy, and he's getting his little, you know, soft tissue injuries, calves and little touch on hamstrings and things like that.
Now, we should just mention, obviously, Port Adelaide are playing on Sunday. And there's three ins at the moment. Obviously, they'll settle the team over the next 24, 48 hours. Charlie Dixon's been named. Riley Bonner's been named. And Jed McEntee. So three ins at the moment. No outs, of course. And that'll unfold in the next 24, 48, as I mentioned.
Malcolm Blight's a coach. And I spoke with Bix and Rowie after the game. And they have to make decisions on players that have been there for 3 or 4 years. And Blight, I want to ask you, these players, where do you rate them? And where do you think their future is? And just your first thought, don't it?
Okay.
Darcy Fogarty.
Yeah,
he's still on the side.
Yeah, he's struggling. I think we gave him a four.
Fourth year, fifth year maybe?
We gave him a 4 out of 10. He's struggling.
Chase Jones, we thought was getting better, but he's out.
Yeah, he's 4.75. He's below the 5, and I use that as a marker.
Himmelberg?
He's 4.
So he's not good when you're talking.
No, but let's just put a little rider to both Fogarty and Himmelberg. They're tall. They do take longer. And distribution of the ball from the midfield of Adelaide hasn't been salubrious. Do you know what that word, you know what salubrious means?
Quite tasty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Billy Frampton?
Same, he's a 4.
Lockie Scholl?
Lockie Scholl, early last year, looked terrific on the wing, didn't he?
I thought. I'm a bit surprised he's not playing,
But it's a bit like youngies. They take some, you know, I mean, they come up and down, they go up and down, and they lose a bit of confidence, and back they go. So
I suppose the thing I'm getting at, how long can you continue to recycle players? A lot of these guys we've spoken about have been in, out, in, out, in, out.
Yep.
You say, what is it, 15 games, 20 games?
I reckon you get an idea if you can see snippets. I mean, that's what you're looking for a young player. Very few. Sam Walsh has been one at Carlton who's come into the competition and has stayed
dominated.
But, they're one every 5 years. You don't get those along. So, I mean, I get all that. And what you've got to do is start looking at the bits and pieces. And I'm sure, I mean, all the coaching group at the Crows will be working their butts off to try and get these bits and pieces together.
Well, they've had a couple of clean-outs. You look at the changes in the last 4 years. Mm. Can you see a lot more? You can mention guys like McPherson as well. Hinge has been around with... I mean, a lot of these guys aren't doing what I call a lot. They're doing bits and pieces.
No, so we're virtually nearly halfway through the year. What will happen now? This assessment continually goes on with both the list, the recruiters, and the coaches, right? So that's a constant conversation throughout the year. I'll guarantee you at the end of this year, I just forget how many they got last year, 7 or 8, there'll be probably another 7 either side, 6 or 8. 6 to 8 will go off the list. It just happens. You have to do 3 automatically because they're the rules of the AFL. You must let the kids come through and breathe through your competition. So 6 to 8 will probably go again. And that's what happens. If you're not cutting the mustard, you soon get tipped out.
Yeah, and Sloane and Seedsman both on the long-term injury list. Yep. That allows a couple to come in with a mid-season draft. So, yeah, it's interesting, the Crows. I mean, 4 weeks ago, everyone was quite – it was glass half full.
Yeah, it was.
The last few weeks, it's sort of becoming a little bit less full.
Well, you only have to take a line through North Melbourne now. I mean, all the heat on them, you know, one win and all that. But, you know, I can tell you now, 3 years ago, it was Simon Goodwin. 2 years ago, they finished 7-8, 3 years. And all the heat was on Melbourne. And prior to that, 4 years prior to that, Richmond, Hardwick was gone. I mean, this never-ending, I mean, because you've been around so long, you've seen the ups and downs of every team, draft and salary cap. Now, I don't care what number you are picked, you just need some new faces and hope those new faces understand and become better. But the pick doesn't give you a good player.
I feel, though, overall, we did a bit of a survey, went through Port Adelaide and the Crows. And overall, I think Port Adelaide have recruited far better than the Adelaide Crows. And you can throw in guys like McHenry that are, you know, late first rounders. Chase Jones was a first round. Darcy Fogarty, Wayne Miller. None of these guys have so far becoming stars of the game. And a lot of teams have picked up, you know, I know you say it's a number, but pick 8, pick 14, pick 20, and they become stars of the game.
No, not all of them.
No, not all of them. Now, Adelaide have had a lot of misses.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what it is, and this is probably about 4 or 5 years old, but it's be the same now because the averages are right. I've said this before. With your drafting, right, getting kids into the bay, the good teams that gradually rise, like getting a Petrarca and Oliver, right, will get 55% of the picks right. The teams that just below that get 45%. Now, that 45% is either 2 or 3 players. So that 10% difference on a list of 40 is 4 players, David. So you can actually mess it up, but it's not that much difference.
I think the last couple of years have done quite well. If you look at Phil Thorpe, Rochelle, Dawson.
Yep.
Dawson's class, just bring him the... And young Sligo, sure, I thought, looks was good like, too. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of... Look, it is not a perfect system, and I'll say it for the 1,000th time, the boy doesn't always become the man because there's a lot of things you got to understand. It is tough. And one of the biggest problems is there's already 22 playing. You've got to knock someone out of the team, you know, with form. And that's sometimes hard to do.
I think, though, if you get a pick inside the first 12, you've got to make good use of it these days. A lot of good kids out there.
Yeah, there are. But, let's go. Where does the game start from? The midfield.
Yeah.
How many really good kicks are in the Adelaide midfield?
Really good kicks?
Yeah.
Not too many.
Okay. So when were they drafted?
Can we say any at the moment? Really good kicks.
Yeah, Rory's a fair kick.
No, not elite. Matt Crouch is only more crab-like, small kicks.
Laird.
Schomburg's not elite, misses too many targets. Laird, only over short distances, not a penetrating kick.
No, so, I mean, that's...
Seedsman was.
But only a long kick.
He's a wing, a pretty good kick.
Yeah, but a long kick.
Dawson's a good elite kick.
Yeah, that's why I think Dawson's got to go to the midfield. And you've just got to take your luck with him.
Yeah. Try Jimmy, and get the Jimmy ball. Rowe's an elite kick. Yeah, if he can get it to him get in his hands a bit more.
Yeah. I just, if you're not a good kick in the midfield, I don't reckon you've got to be there.
No.
I'd find somebody else.
See, I think you need good kicks at half back as well.
Yeah, of course.
The other ones that, are, I mean, you set your team up with the guys can run off there. Let's go to Doug. Once you say hello, Doug.
Yeah, good day, guys. I've just got a question for you tonight. I remember a rule that AFL brought in several years ago, and I think Dane Swan utilised that. If you have a career-ending injury, you got some kind of bonus payment. Now, that's kind of what I was thinking along the lines of Paul Seedsman. Do you know if that rule still exists or not? Will that persuade his...
decision.
Choice whether to go on or not. Decision to go on or not.
Yeah, look, I think the wording was, now, just... I haven't read it for 18 months, to be perfect.
Is but it was you been 18 incapacitated months. No, no, or something,
yeah, it was 18
like
months. 18 months salary. Yeah. So if you actually were incapacitated...
Well, he's contracted for another year next year, Paul says, so he'd be okay, paid out with that.
But if it's a career-ending injury, I think there is a payment through the Players Association of 18 months payment.
On top of your... Yeah. Is it?
Can I just say, that's what
like
it was.
Like a workers' comp thing.
Yes, it is. That's what it was. I haven't seen where it's changed, but I also haven't read it for probably a year and a half, David.
Well, I think if you're 27, 28 and footy ends your career with an injury, you should be entitled to that. You would be in any other job, wouldn't you?
Yes, you would.
If you can't, I think it's 2 years' work cover.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm saying it used to be 18 months. It might be 2 years now, and that would make with everybody else's workplace the same.
Yeah.
But it is something like that, a career ender. Yeah.
The lad that came back was Paddy McCartan, who's now with Sydney. Like, he had some shocking concussions.
Yeah.
He's coming back and playing some good footy, but he sees him just to the right or wrong place, wrong time, knee in the back of the head, and we haven't seen him at training.
Yeah,
that's how it'll happen.
And, of course, both Rory and Sloane, the captain, and Seedsman are both on the inactive list. And as you mentioned, I was looking up, Adelaide have got pick four in the mid-season draft. Next Wednesday, I reckon it's on, David.
What do they need?
I've got to get a midfield. But
good. Someone with foot skills.
Just someone who can kick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I'd like to see, now they picked up Pedler at pick 10, I think. Now, he's a... You know, hustling and bustle, but apparently he's got quite a nice leg, but we haven't seen much of him.
No, we haven't
seen Newchurch.
Can also saying you're a good kick is fine.
Under pressure.
Making the decision when the heat's on.
I think most guys can kick without pressure.
Yeah, you go and watch training. I must say I haven't watched training for a while because of COVID, but, you know, try and sleep. But the ball hardly touches the ground in some drills.
Yeah.
They can all kick.
Well, it's like the putting practice I didn't miss today. Went out first hole.
Yeah.
You miss. Yeah, you're right. Pressure makes a difference. Billy Brownless tonight. We've also got the team, Sandford and AFL. Just repeating those ins for Port Adelaide. Dixon's a big one, isn't it?
Dixon and Bonner.
That's just about full strength. Not too many out now.
No, there's probably not, actually.
So hopefully they can come back. No,
and Jed McIntyre, yeah.
And Adelaide, we look at Adelaide, they are four very good ins. Butts, the fullback, Crouch, Riley O'Brien, Wayne Miller.
Yep. I mean, he hasn't been playing great, Dangerfield, but Dangerfield out is an out for Geelong.
Yeah, Geelong aren't the old Geelong. I mean, they're very hard to beat, though.
Well, what about one game this year? Didn't they have 11 over 30? It's never happened before in the history of the world.
11 over 30.
Over 30 years of age.
History of the world.
World.
I'll take that. Now, from navigating open roads to wrangling uncharted tracks, for 100 years, Repco's been driven by passion.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Lumo SA. Aussie-owned, made for South Australia.
Yeah, time now for our tips for Host Plus, an industry super fun for all Aussies, run only to benefit its members. Search, compare Host Plus today.
That's me, David.
A sample tip. Yeah, that's you.
Host Plus. Here we go.
Right, you're a frog in your throat.
Yeah, I just got that little frog happening right sometimes. Hey, the sample tips. Here we go for Host Plus. Norwood playing Adelaide.
Adelaide are playing good footy. Adelaide for me.
Same. Port Adelaide play the Roosters. Your Roosters, David.
Yeah, Port Adelaide are full strength. Well, I'll tell you what. I think Port...
I've gone the Roosters.
That's at Alberton.
I've gone the Roosters.
Oh, we'll have a little $10 bottle of red on that. I'll go Port.
Gamble responsibly.
Exactly.
The Bulldogs playing the Tigers.
Tigers for me.
Yeah, Central's just struggling a bit. Panthers and the Bloods, West Adelaide.
You've got to go Panthers, yep, don't you?
Now, here's one for you. Sturt play the Eagles.
Wigan Oval, is that what they call Unley Oval now?
Yes, it
Wigan.
Is. Yes,
okay.
It is.
Eagles.
Oh, I thought you might have gone Sturt.
Yeah, did you?
I tossed up. This is the one I tossed up, but
first
I eventually
time I've
went.
Ever gone against North Adelaide, though.
There you go. And I went for the Eagles as well.
AFL tips are Kia and Lumo. Lumo SA, powering local footy and fans in South Australia. And the Kia EV6. We talk about this car. It is magnificent. Judge Will's car of the year. It's leading the charge.
Yeah. Sydney Swans, Richmond tomorrow night.
I'm sick of Sydney. Richmond don't have Lynch. A couple of players out. I reckon Sydney might beat them too quick for them.
Richmond.
Ooh.
Brisbane playing the Giants?
Brisbane.
Okay. So me. Geelong Cats versus Adelaide Crows?
Geelong.
So me.
Even Adelaide got four good ins. Nah.
Oh, gee, I've got a frog in the throat. Melbourne playing Fremantle?
Ooh, where's that?
In Melbourne.
No, I'll stick with the Ds.
West Coast Eagles playing Western Bulldogs.
Bulldogs by 8 goals.
Right. Gold Coast Suns playing Hawthorn in Queensland.
I'm going for, I'm going for your mob, Metricon.
Darwin.
That's in Darwin.
That's what I meant to say. North.
Gold Coast.
Yeah, that's what I got right. St Kilda playing North Melbourne.
St Kilda.
Yeah. Collingwood playing Carlton.
Ooh.
That might be some game. Hadn't been for years. Looks like a good game.
I'll go the Blues.
So am I. Mm.
Not with any.
Port Adelaide playing Essendon. Sorry for coughing.
That's going to be. I might have to get the old arc out. Apparently, it's going to rain that much on Sunday, so Port Adelaide will win that.
Okay. What have we got now? How would you like to win 5,000 cash, David?
Oh, I'd love to.
For your chance to win 5,000 cash, visit icanwin.com.au. All thanks to My Money House, empowering people to live life on their terms.
I'm a bit worried about you. That voice has gone up and down. Everybody through the glass.
I'm looking for Billy Brownless. He's going to tell some rotten stories.
Just repeating the news too for the Crows. Big ins, Butts, Crouch, Riley O'Brien, Miller. Out goes Jones, Rochelle, Strawn, Scholl and Walker. For Port Adelaide, Dixon, McEntee and Riley Bonin. We're going to take a break. On the other side, one of the great entertainers in footy, Billy Brownless, will join us.
Sports Day for Kia, the all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for South Australia.
Mark Blunt and David Wilde for Weeks Homes. Discover different, discover exceptional customer service, and also Polaris, Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand for 21 years in a row. That's Polaris. Well, next guest, he's been a star, really, when you think, not only in the field, but when you talk TV, you think of Sam Newman, Eddie McGuire. Well, this man wasn't far behind them. No. Billy Brownless, for years and years, doesn't do much TV now, but he's still around and does a lot of work, and he joins us now. Hi, Billy, how are you?
Good, David. G'day, Blighty. How are we?
Great to speak. Now, before Blighty's got a lot of questions he wants to go, but he keeps telling me you've made a living, a career, built a couple of houses out of using Malcolm Blight's name.
True or false? And 14 pubs and everything else.
Well, I needed a couple of hours, so I lost one. So, yeah. But Blighty had a go at me one night, and he said, "Bill, you mix your stories up. Some are half right, and some are half. The other half is wrong." And you know what? I think he's right. I think I do mix them up because you get a bit old and you forget about them. But geez, it was great fun. That's what we did. We had a lot of fun. We kicked a lot of goals. And we enjoyed it. We just couldn't win a bloody premiership, Blighty.
Yeah.
It was a great story in the front bar, and you were daydreaming watching aeroplanes, and as Malcolm was, the ball was getting tossed back in, and Blighty actually caught you out, and he reckons he chucked a tape at you.
No, I didn't do that, did I?
I reckon you did.
Bloody hope you did, Malcolm. But, it was a practice game at Skinner Reserve. Oh. No one likes playing practice games at Skinner Reserve. No. Blighty hated practice games. He never played practice games. And I was watching. Well, it was a big plane. It flew over, and I wasn't getting a kick, so I just thought I'd have a look at this plane. But unfortunately, it was a throw-in right near me. And you knew when you're in trouble when he come in Monday, wouldn't say much to you. And then he said, "I just got a video here." And he didn't call you by name. He called you by number. So just watch number 16 here, boys. Just watch number. Look at him. And then ejected the tape and threw it at me and said, "Choke on this." Yeah, a few words.
Hey, Billy, I was going to tell some nice stories about you, but I think I'm going to change now. I just 198 games, terrific, 441 goals, obviously a very good player. Now, Bill, there's three highlights to me when I was at my time with you at the Geelong. The 91 elimination final versus St Kilda, when you kicked 8 goals at one end, I think Lockett kicked 9 at the other, and Gary Ablett, remember when he retired, he was on the bench when you were kicking all those goals. It was a great game from you.
No, that was. It was third versus fourth, and whoever lost was out.
Yep.
Yeah, they were out. So it was out at Waverley, and you're right, Gazza, you benched him. You put him on the bench, Malcolm. And so I actually had a good game, you're right, but Plugger up the other end was on fire, and you ended up had to put poor old Barry Stoneham, who was a Mr. Fix-It, wasn't he?
Yes, but he was. Great player.
Yeah, he could play wing and ruck. He could play his great at centre forward. And you end up putting Bazza on him and held him to only about one goal. But that was one of my better games. You're right, Malcolm. That is one game I did enjoy.
Now, the second one is the 92 qualifying final versus Footscray. You kicked 9 goals, Bill, in a final. So you've kicked 8 goals and 9 goals in consecutive years in the finals. It was a great effort.
Well, Now, that was a good one. I did all right against Footscray back then, and it was in a final, and I had one of those days where everything, you know, falls in your arms sometimes. You're out the back just standing there, and the ball falls in your arm, you kick a goal. So that was enjoyable, that one, Malcolm. Yes, that's two, I think. So you're going to find three good games.
Yeah,
of mine.
No, that's I'm going to find three. No. And also the qualifying final. This is because the Crows are playing Geelong this week, so we're going to ask you some questions about the Crows and Geelong shortly. But in 94, of course, you kicked the goal after the siren for us to continue on and eventually made the grand final in 94 after your goal to beat Footscray again.
Yeah, that was a good one, mate. Obviously, I had a quiet night. I was on Danny Southern, and he did say if it touched the ball, I'm going to belch in the head every time you do, and I thought he was fair dinkum, so I didn't go near it. And, lucky enough to Barnes down to Buddha Hocking to David Minch, and David Minch actually laid out a beautiful pass to me out in front and went back and kicked it from, I don't know, 75, 80 metres out. And then that was funny because you were trying to get where everyone's, you know, I took off, actually. It's the first time I'd ran 50 metres on the MCG and never got caught. And then a few boys caught me, and then you were trying to get in there and give me a kiss. And then John Barnes kissed me on the lips. And but, well, not good that, not good that.
Hey, Billy, I've got it now. This is, I gave two players in my voting history, out of 10 for best and fairest, I gave 10 votes to Bill. This is in 1991. Listen to this, David. In round four, played Brisbane at the Gabba. At centre half forward he played, right? He took 14 marks, 27 disposals, and kicked 11 goals for.
That's a 10.
That's
a 10.
Gary Ablett got one. And Bill Brown, this was the other one. I gave him 10 that night in the best and fairest. It was a special thing, Bill, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, mate. That day was unbelievable. And believe it or not, I only got two Brownlow votes. Damien Burke got three Brownlow votes that day. That's unbelievable. But and it's still the record at the Gabba, individual record with, you know, they've had Jonathan Brown and Alistair Lynch and Feb and everyone else up there. And It's still a record up there at the Gabba. So that was another good day, good night, that one, Blighty. But we had fun, mate. We kicked goals, and that was your mantra. Yep. Kick goals quickly. And unfortunately, you know, the opposition had kicked 15. We kicked 17, 18, 19. And, gee, we had some fun. We just couldn't stop them, unfortunately, in the grand finals. But, no, it was good times. Good times by the great man there, Malcolm Blight.
Billy Brownless, I guess, for your local type. Billy, you just touched on Buddha Hocking. What a terrific bloke he is. But I look at Joel Selwood and Buddha Hocking, perhaps two of the toughest players and durable players in the history of the game. You played with Buddha and you've seen Joel. You rate them side by side?
Oh, mate, Buddha Hocking, he was the toughest player I played with. But he was also the most skilled. And normally, you get one that's tough and they got no skills, or they're skillful and they're not tough. Well, let me tell you, Buddha, he should have won a Brownlow, Blighty.
Yeah, he should
There's no doubt about that. Yeah. He should have won a Brownlow medal. He was a great player. He was tough, he was hard. They used to belt him. He'd just get up and giggle and keep on going. So was Paul Couch, by the way. He was tough because they used to try and belt poor old Couchy all the time too. But that midfield where you had Mark Bairstow, who we loved as a captain and a great leader, and then you had Paul Couch, you had Buddha Hocking. Gee, that was a great midfield. But Buddha was outstanding.
He was indeed. Now, listen, just three quick questions, and you've got whatever comes first in your mind, and then we'll talk about the game down at the Cattery coming up this weekend. The best player you ever saw?
Gary Ablett Sr.
And the best move made by M. Blight, apparently, was moving Billy Brownless out of full forward and putting Gary Ablett there. Okay. Now, the best opponent you played on?
Danny, the great late Danny Frawley. Yeah. He was tough hard. He was hard.
Now, okay, this is unsolicited. This is what we normally ask. And the best coach you had during your time? You had a lot of coaches.
Yourself, mate. No doubt about that. I love John Devine, and Gary is, but no. For Malcolm, he was eccentric. He was out there. He was mad. He loved talking. about himself. Crikey! Remember those Monday nights we'd have, and you'd come in and tell a story about your sewerage drain
oh,
blew
that's
up
right.
at your
blew
house.
Up, yeah, dropped the second story. Dropped it on the first floor. Yeah,
he sort of Billy teeters from genius to lunatic. We reckon he's on the right on the cusp there, isn't he?
Oh no, he's on the scale. There's no doubt about that. But all the great people in the world, whether they're world leaders or great coaches, they're all mad. They're mad. There's no doubt about that.
Can you just say, Bill? The word's different. You don't have to say mad.
No, M-A-double-D, mad. I want to know, Blighty, what was your best stunt you did with us, do you reckon? Was it the day that you made us line up at Footy Park when we all had 10 players each side and the Adelaide Crows had to run between us and it was reverse psychology?
Yeah.
Or was it the time you took around to Peter Burnett's house and we went out the back there and we were Indians going out to battle against the Cowboys, which were Richmond, and we all had a powwow before the game?
And we only won by 14 goals, we won by two, by the way.
Or the other one at Footy Park at half time when you called us into that little room, a tiny little room,
lights
and
out.
You turned the lights out, and oh, we had no idea where this madman was in front of us. It was
and went boo, boo.
turned on the light, and we all had our hands in our heads. We didn't know what was going on. Yeah. Oh. Fantastic.
Oh, keep going, Bill. Yeah. It'd be another 100 there somewhere, won't there?
No, we can't keep going.
In all fairness, it was fantastic times. And I've said this many, many times. The Geelong people and this community is very much like Adelaide. You know, big brothers across the border or just down the road. And I found the Geelong people as very similar to the Adelaide people.
Hey, Billy, you've made a really good, great career in TV, but you're not doing as much now, if any. Do you miss it at all?
Oh, I do. Well, the great old Halcyon days of the Footy Show, that was fantastic. Mm. You know, when there was Eddie and Sam and Trevor Marmalade and people would rush home to watch the Thursday night because we had the teams too. We were the first one to have the teams back then and it was just great fun. And, that was really good. And then I suppose political correctness got us all in the end and things like that. And I did enjoy the Sunday Footy Show. It just got a bit hard. Sundays, I had to be at a meeting at 8:30 and Richmond every morning. It just got too much, mate. So it's nice now, let me tell you, to have a Sunday off, just wake up and, you know, go down and have some bacon and eggs and a couple of coffees when you're a bit hungover.
Yes. Now, on today, it was a great career, Bill. I really enjoyed our company. And I thought that, I mean this sincerely, Billy was one bloke I would never, ever move from a football club, the Geelong Football Club, just what he did around the club. It just wasn't always about football. Obviously, football's important, but Billy was a terrific bloke to have at a footy club. Now, mate, Patrick Dangerfield's out, coming up.
Yeah.
Are the Cats in trouble? Can Adelaide beat them?
Well, I thought they could have, but then without Big Texan.
Yep.
And Josh Rochelli, is it? He's been very good. I thought they were a little sneaky chance, because they're not going that well, to be honest, the Cats, if you have a good look at it. They're not going that well. Dangerfield was the man in the middle that gave them a bit of ping.
Yep.
Because they are a bit one-paced in that middle there when you have a look at it. So they'll certainly miss Dangerfield, and they've got to give him a couple of weeks off to get him right because he is getting a bit older. But, no, I think now the Cats should win. At home, too, you've got to win those, as you know, down there, Malcolm. You've got to win those ones down at Cadinia Park. So, no, the Cats should win, and certainly a couple of those outs have helped them, I reckon.
Gee, the Cats have been consistent, Billy, for years, haven't they? They haven't really gone down to the bottom. It's been remarkable how they still stick around. They made a grand final a couple of years ago, so remarkable consistency.
And it's really difficult to try and get some good players in the draft, as we know, when you're hanging up beyond the top four there. So that's what I've admired about them. Every year they've gone and tried a couple of different ways by bringing experienced players in. Some of them have worked, some haven't. But they've always been thereabouts, you know. So I just wonder if they could drop down a bit and get an early couple of picks or a pick, because they need that. They need some kids coming through. And they've got a couple there, but they really need a good kid to come through, I reckon.
Just for your own information too, Bill, Matty Crouch is back and Wayne Miller are two players, not bad players actually for the Crows.
Riley O'Brien
and also Jordan Butts, the key defender. So there's a few good ins there for the Adelaide Crows. And of course, as I mentioned, Patrick Dangerfield's out. Hey, Billy, do you know your leading goal kicker in 91 and 92? No, what years were they? 91 and 92?
90. 91, yeah. 92, yeah.
Yeah. He kicked 81 and 79 goals, and that's with Gary Ablett in the team. So he was leading goal kicker in the club in that year. He's a very good player, Billy. 200 games virtually. You don't sign many poor. You don't find many poor 200 game players.
Billy, thanks.
Good fun. Good fun, Malcolm, and it was all because of you, my friend. And you know, all the boys still love you, mate. You were mad, and you drove us. and sometimes we thought, geez, we hate this bloke, but then he'd get us back. And you'd want to cuddle him on a Monday. He'd get you back on site, and away we go. So, no, you know the boys all loved you, Blighty.
Thanks for the chat, Billy.
Good on you. No worries, Dave. Thank you.
Billy Brownless there. What an entertainer, both on and off the field. For Tyre Power, their buying power puts the power in your lane. Those stories, I love the one when you turn the lights out and just walking around. No one knows where you are. It'd be quite scary. And just yell. You just suddenly yell.
Yes, I thought he said mad probably four times more than he needed to.
It wasn't a lot of genius. It was more mad, wasn't it? We're going to take a break there. Our guest, Billy Brownless.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Lumo SA. Aussie-owned, made for South Australia.
Malcolm Blight and David Woody, all thanks to Weeks Homes. Discover different, discover a better way to build. Time now, though, for our Greyhound Racing segment. No one runs the dogs like South Australia. And our man's back.
Toddy Gray.
Where's he been the last few weeks? Toddy, how are you?
I'm good, lads. It's good to be back. It's good to be busy, but it's also good to be around good company. So thanks for having me back on.
Now, Toddy, Sean Matheson actually replaced you for a couple of weeks. And you know his last effort last week was two firsts. two for two. Mate,
just because I'm not around, I'm not keeping in touch. Yeah, he knocked it out the park last week, two for two, and they both won absolutely painlessly.
Yes,
they did, and it was painless putting the money in our David and I's pocket. We only bet responsibly,
no pressure.
So there's none coming back tonight, excepting one minimum one. Come on, what have you got for us tonight?
All right, lads, the best bet tonight is in race five. Race five, number eight, Victor Grosso. Now, he's second favourite on the fixed odds at the moment at around 320, 340. Look, this favourite, Kinrock Star, oh, gosh, he's a good dog. He is probably one of the better dogs we have in SA, but he is drawn awfully in two. He's got speed all around him. A wide runner in one, a couple of railers in three and four. He's going to have plenty of rump steak in front of him on the first turn. And I think Grosso, he's had some rubbish draws lately. I don't mind him for box eight, and he is a very good dog. He is very, very good. He will jump all right and then use his burn to probably hit the front at around about the halfway mark. And then there's only one danger, and I think he's going to have to weave through some traffic. So race five, number eight, Victor Grosso, at around about the $3.20 mark, I just reckon he's a lot better valued in this favourite in this race. So he's my best for tonight.
Okay. Now, what about a bit of value? You just mentioned the word. Have you got a value one for us?
I've got two in the one race, lads, but just hear me out because they're both a bit nice. And that's in the main race tonight, the Howard Ashton Group 3 final. This favourite's in box one, but it's $1.30. Now, can it win? Yes, but it should not be $1.30 for mine. I think it's a dead set $1.60, $1.70 pop. So there's a bit of meat on the bone with two roughies here, and they are the main plate, number three. So race eight, number three, Springvale Rex, each way all day for mine at $9. I cannot see how with a clear run he will miss the podium. He's got a very, very slow beginner in two, and he's got a speedy wide runner in four. Every chance he's going to get to that rail on the first turn, and he's a very solid dog. He won't miss a place for mine. If you really want just a one bet or wonder, I think him the place only, but I'd be having something each way because he can win this. And just saved, so he's the May play, saved for a few bob on the two dog here, Archman, because he's 25-1.
Wow.
He's only worth a save. I'm really keen on the three here each way at $9. I'd even just go win only for this bloke. He will be last out the boxes, and that's always a problem in a full field. But last week, he ran home faster than dogs I was talking about previously, Victor Grosso and stuff like that. He is a brilliant run-home dog, but, gosh, he could run up a parked car twice in a one-car car park. You know, that's what he's like. So number three is the main play, and the two-dog Archman, just a spec and save your money because he is just the odds in this race.
Hey, Toddy, Howard Ashton, he was involved in the racing at Angle Park from its infancy in 1972, and you've just had the celebration. I remember talking to him, and you know what? You know when we came to the Adelaide Cup with you, was it last year? Howard, Howard just came up and said, "G'day, Malcolm, Howard Ashton." So it was good to see him, and he looked really, really well.
He's going fantastic. Yeah, Howard goes back to, Howard and John were on a few committees and that together, and I'm sure they had plenty of drinks together and also plenty of arguments as well. But he is a top bloke, Howard. He'd be very proud of this race. And every year it's named after him. And honestly, he deserves it. He's been a big, big influence in the industry in all of these decades.
Yep.
Great to have you back, Toddy.
Fingers crossed we bounce back. It'll be good to be back with a few winners, lads. Thanks for having me again.
Good man. They love listening to Toddy Gray for expert ground racing tips. Follow the Dogs SA on Twitter or check out Greyhound Racing SA on Facebook. Well, earlier today, Sam Fantasia caught up with Lee Dalton from Palmerbet.
Get bolt-in benefits this racing carnival with great odds, more markets and great value at Palmerbet. Gamble responsibly. For gamblers' help, call 1-800-858-858. Lee, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Sam. How are you going?
Good, mate. Good to have you back. I believe this is our last one as well.
I think for this little period it will be, yeah. Hopefully we'll be back around AFL finals or something once things get real spicy.
Oh, absolutely, mate. Looking forward to it already. But on that note, we'll look at this week's AFL markets. We've got the Sydney and Richmond game tomorrow night that looks like an absolute cracker.
Terrific way to kick off the weekend. Sydney hosting Richmond at the SCG. Swans have been well backed into $1.53. Richmond out to $2.52. The line there is 12.5. Probably a few key personnel missing for Richmond is going to hurt. But, geez, I think they're back in the game, the Tigers. They could make a big charge here this year, I think.
And we'll move on to the Crows taking on the Cats down at the Cattery. There's a big line, 44.5 points there with the Crows, $8.10 outsiders.
Yeah, nice and short, Geelong, $1.08 and 44.5. Look, I don't think anyone would be suggesting the Crows can win, but geez, they should be able to cover that line, the 44.5. I wouldn't imagine they get beat by much more than sort of 4 or 5 goals myself.
Yeah, you'd think so. It's an interesting one with Tex and Rochelle out, but you know they've shown that some of the other boys can step up and kick some goals. Move on to Melbourne versus Fremantle, where Freo have just fallen off the perch a little bit the past few weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, there wouldn't have been much in the betting here. Melbourne, obviously, at home would have been favourite, but they definitely wouldn't have been $1.19. Fremantle, $4.80. That line there is 28.5, and that's one we discussed off-air, and we both thought that Melbourne probably cover that line and get home by 5+.
And we'll move on to Gold Coast versus the Hawks. Looks an absolutely ripping matchup and not much to separate the two sides.
Nothing in it. I think it's the fact that Gold Coast are playing at home gives them the edge, $1.78. Hawthorne, $2.05, and the line's very tight there at 4.5.
And Collingwood versus Carlton, the traditional rivals, and the old teammates Craig McRae and Michael Voss facing off for the first time.
It'll be an interesting one, obviously, triple premiership teammates, Voss and McRae. Both have gone in different directions to get to this senior coaching job. Obviously, it's Voss's second go, but no doubt there'll be a bit of a rivalry there. Collingwood, $2.37 outsider, Carlton, $1.59. They've been rock solid the last couple of weeks, Carlton, and Collingwood not the most reliable conveyance this season.
And Port Adelaide taking on Essendon on the Sunday. Geez, I reckon you could get easily more than 146.5 points there on the under-overs.
It's probably a game that has to be a shootout if Essendon are going to manage to find a way home. It's unlikely, according to the odds makers. $1.14, Port Adelaide, $5.80 Essendon. The line there is 34.5, but I'm with you. It could be an absolute shootout there at Adelaide Oval.
I'll move on to the NBA. Tomorrow, the Mavericks taking on Golden State. They managed to pinch a game yesterday, the Mavs, but Golden State, the firm favourites.
Very short, $1.33, Dallas $3.35. That might be the last one that Dallas pegged back from the Golden State Warriors. They should be en route to a final series.
And Boston taking on Miami on Saturday after the Celtics got up earlier today and they lead the series 3-2.
It's been a good series. Boston, obviously, $1.22, very well fancied to win the next one, but you couldn't ride off Miami at the 4:30, and that line there is very appealing, 9.5 points.
Lee, thanks very much for joining us across the past few weeks, mate. Get bolt-in benefits this racing carnival with great odds, more markets, and great value at Palmerbet. Gamble responsibly. Call for gamblers' help. Call 1-800-858-858.
Good stuff, Sam. That's it for us, Blighty. Another interesting week of footy. Could be very, very wet here in Adelaide too, I believe, on Sunday.
Yeah, the forecast is not great, is it? Now, tomorrow night, Sydney-Richmond, which is a really interesting game on the ladder. And, of course, obviously, Port Adelaide played Essendon here on Sunday. And Geelong and Adelaide at the Cats. And it was great catching up with
Billy Brownless.
Billy Brownless too.
He's made a fortune on your name, hasn't he, over the years? Does he embellish a few?
Of course he does. He adds mayo every time he talks about it. A lot of mayo.
Yeah, no, he's a good bloke, Billy. One of your favourites?
He was, actually. He was a heart and soul player of the club. Yep.
Kick a ball over the silo, that's not bad. Yeah. bigger kick than you. Up, not necessarily long.
No, of course not. No, can't go there, David.
Chris. Mate, have a great weekend.
Same to you.
I hope your golf goes well tomorrow. Yep. Mine wasn't so good today, as we've mentioned, but that doesn't matter. And we'll do it all again Monday between 6 and 7. Bye for now.
Bye, David.
Sports Day for Kia, the all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Lumo SA, Aussie-owned, made for South Australia.